right. Who's excited for our new series that we have today? I'll tell you right now, I'm really excited. Like, super, super excited about this series. Yes, I am. All right. So listen, I hope you are too. I hope by the end of today's message that you walk out going, I can't wait till next week. That's my prayer for you. To give you a little introduction of this series that we're calling Upside Down Kingdom, I want to give you a story that happened to me just a few months ago. My oldest daughter, who's going to be turning 9 next week, she came to me and she said, Dad, you know, normally I think she's going to ask for something, like I would like some candy or can I have some money? You know, those are the things eight-year-old girls ask for. But instead she asked something totally different that shocked me. She asked, Dad, I would like to watch the inauguration tomorrow. And I was like, are you sure? You do? Like, I don't, but I didn't want to tell her that. So I said, you know what, Adeline, sure. You can watch the inauguration. So I had off. It was a Wednesday. That's my day off. And I'm there. It was Adeline's day off from school. And sure enough, when it came on, we turned it on, and I put my happy face on. You know what a happy face is, right? Where internally, your insides want to be on your outsides. You know, you're internally, you're messed up. You're not handling things well, but you're around a child, so you can't say the things that your head is thinking, right? Because the things your head is thinking is things that you might lose your salvation over. So here we are. Adeline's saying these things to me. We're sitting there, and she's got plenty of questions. I mean, just plenty of questions. She's like, okay, who are these people? I'm telling her. Why is Michael Pence there and Trump's not? I'm like, let's not get into that. Moving on. It goes to the first song. The first song is from Lady Gaga, right? Adeline sits there, and she's in the chair watching intently going, why did they get her? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe she just wanted to do it. She goes, why didn't they get Beyonce? Why don't we have Beyonce? I'm like, listen, Ada, I don't know the whole story, but, you know, that this lady's singing the song, Lady Gaga. So she goes, okay. So it moves on, it moves on. She's got more questions about this, that. Inside, again, I'm not doing very well with this whole thing because it didn't go the way I was hoping. Maybe that was you know, in 2016, whatever. It all comes around, right? So I'm there, and I'm thinking, I'm having some issues. I'm struggling with this. And then what comes next is Jennifer Lopez comes and sings a song. And again, the question that my 8-year-old daughter is asking is, where is Beyonce? I said, man, you are really locked into this Beyonce thing. So time goes on, and the hand is sworn on that really old Bible. I mean, can you imagine carrying that thing around? I don't know if you saw it. It was, like, huge. So, you know, he does the swearing. We're watching this. And then Garth Brooks comes out. And honestly, that was probably the most powerful thing I've seen in a long time. Even despite that things didn't go his way, he's like, I want to sing Amazing Grace. And then he had everybody, he was like a worship leader all of a sudden, had everybody stand up and sing it. Now, whether they knew they were singing it or not, they were singing it. And it was good for my daughter to see that, right? But internally, I am struggling. Not because Beyonce didn't show up, right? That's not why. I'm internally struggling with this thing. I am messed up. How many of you have been messed up over things like this in the past? Where it consumes you. You're full of anxiety. You're full of worry. You're full of what's going to happen. And I felt like the Lord said this to me. Who do you think you are? And I went, that's a silly question because you made me. You know my name. He's like, no, who do you think you are? Do you think I do things the way you want them to be done? And I'm like, well, you know, that would be nice. It would be nice if you did things the way I would like them to be done. No, that's not how this thing works. And I'm like, so now I'm convicted. I'm trying to hold back tears. And he says this. This verse comes to my mind. It's this one right here. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can we say that together? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then this part, this is really important. And all these things will be added to you. What things? Does anybody know? Is that interesting? We memorize this verse. It's a memory verse that you learned in memory school. You know the verse, right? What things? Here's what it is. Go back a couple of verses before that. He says, do not worry. Guess what I was doing? I was worrying. I was anxious. I was in turmoil. And Jesus says, leading up to that verse, he says, do not worry. Do not worry about what you'll eat. Do not worry about what you'll wear. Don't even worry about tomorrow. I was worrying about tomorrow. And when I learned this, I'm like, hold on a second. This must mean that I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God. Because what's that imply? If I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, I don't have to worry. But if I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God, and I have a different kingdom that's in that realm, what's happening? I'm full of worry. So what things will be added to you? Peace. Trust. Maybe for you, it's not politics, but it was for me. Let me explain to you. I had probably spent, leading up to this moment, thousands upon thousands of hours in 2020 listening to political commentary. I can honestly tell you, and I confess to you as one of your pastors, that I spent more time focusing on political commentary than I did on the kingdom of God. I'm being honest. There was more time spent in listening to X, Y, and Z people than it was listening to God and his word. That is a flip of priorities. That's not the right way. His is supposed to take precedence over those things. But maybe it's not politics for you. Maybe it's your career, the kingdom of your career. And when things are there, you're all worked up. Why is that? Because you've put something ahead of the kingdom of God. Maybe it's finances. And you're just like looking at the stock markets. You're all, what's GameStop going to do? It's not going to do well. Just tell you that right now. Whatever this stuff is, what is that? Maybe it's hunting. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. You could just kill me now. I know. Stone me. Maybe it's sports. Or maybe it's even family. Now you're like, hold on a second. Hold on. Family comes first. No, God does. Even Jesus said that. He's like, listen, in comparison, you should hate your family. In comparison, you should love me that much. Now, are these things bad things? No, they're not bad things. It's not bad to be financially, independent and try to be a good steward of your money. It's not bad to be involved in politics and want to make a difference in your community. It's not bad to be a good parent. In fact, I pray you be a good parent. And heck, it's not bad to watch the Buffalo Bills. But when those things take precedence over the kingdom of God, you're going to have some worry and stress and anxiety. Jesus even said before that, before the do not worry, he said, you can only serve one master. You can only serve one. You can't serve two. So when he said that, it got me thinking, I need to know the kingdom of God. I need to know what the kingdom of God is. And this morning, I want to show you as an introduction of what that looks like. I got a whiteboard here. I'm going to give you, my terrible drawing skills that I did not inherit from my mother. She's great. She's great at art. But I want to show you this. Now, first of all, we got to ask the question, what is a kingdom? We don't really use that much anymore. A kingdom can mean this really simply, rule or reign. Now, when I say reign, I don't mean rain. I mean reign, R-E-I-G-N, rule or reign. So that's very important to know. Now, when we're thinking of the kingdom and we talk about the kingdom of God, I want to draw for you an example of what this looks like. Now, when God created, when we're looking at Genesis, let's go all the way back to Genesis. When we see that God created, he created the heavens and the earth, right? And when he created that, what did he say it was? Good. It's a very, very, very simple answer there. There we got. Now, here's what I want to show you in purple in the inner circle. It doesn't matter. They overlap. We have right here, purple, is this kingdom that we have in earth, right? And then we have God's kingdom, the kingdom of God ruling over this kingdom. This is what the garden was, right? He looked at it and he said it was good. In fact, we even see that God was living amongst them. God, Emmanuel, God with us, right here, right? Are you with me? He gave Adam all these jobs to do. He got to pick animal names. That's kind of cool. I wish I had that job. I could have come up with some cooler names for things. Cow. Come on. Cow. I could do something better like Moo Moo Sauce or something. I don't know. I would come up with cool names. But it doesn't matter. You see God and humans totally connected, right? It says they were naked in the garden. They had no shame. The picture I want you to see with these two kingdoms overlapping, God and humanity together, is peace, comfort, joy, no sin. Right? But we know what happened, right? We know what happened when we read in Genesis that man fell. That God said, you can eat of all this fruit. And when I say all of it, I mean everything except that one. And it's the human nature, right? You say not to do something, you want to do it. But what happened at that moment? What happened at that moment was very simple. That our kingdom became separated, not by God. Listen, God has no sin. You know that. Well, just so you know. The light and the darkness can't mesh together, right? So what happens is now that there's two kingdoms that are separated. Now the title of our sermon series is this, Upside Down Kingdom. I'll just put upside, and you'll know what that means. The Upside Down Kingdom, and then the Kingdom of God, right? We live here. This is where you're born. This is what you know. You are in this upside down kingdom. When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought in all of the yucky stuff that you could think of in this earth. Okay, sin in general is in this mix. That is, when you look at the world, you say, why is it so screwed up? It's because of that moment. Where we have in this world, we have sin, we have idolatry, we have slander, we have sexual immorality, we have disease, we have chaotic things going on with volcanoes and hurricanes. We have destruction in this kingdom. And we're separated from God. You with me? Yeah. Now, how many are thankful that that's not where it ended in this story? God didn't just simply say, well, you done screwed up, kids. Kick them to the curb, say, I'll go start somewhere else. Or say, you know what? I tried. Obviously, you two are idiots. The rest of you are idiots. I'm not going to do it anymore. That's how we would do things. That's how we would do things in this. But God doesn't operate like that. So what we see is Jesus. Amen? God himself coming to dwell among his people. Because the way he created it was heaven and earth together. That's what he wants. He longs to be with his people. Longs for it. He wants to be in community with you and I. And he wants to take this world back. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Now, God had a plan. In Matthew chapter 4, if you'll turn there, if you have your Bibles or your devices, we see that Jesus is making an announcement. At this point, in this time, Jesus has not preached. He has not preached. He has not said anything. He's been kind of moving along slowly, doing things kind of undercover, but publicly he's not doing anything. And at this moment, there was a man named John the Baptist. Do you know who he was? He was his cousin. He's the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to cleanse the sin of the world. And then what happens is he gets arrested, thrown into jail. This triggers something in God and says, Jesus, it's your time, man. It's time to go. So Jesus comes with an announcement. What he says in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 17, he says this. He finally ends up at the Sea of Galilee in an area called Zebulun and Naphtali. And he began to preach to people who are in the dark. He said this, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom is near, or the kingdom is at hand. Here is what I want to illustrate for you, what Jesus is saying at this point. Jesus is saying, I'm telling you this. You know how those two kingdoms are separated? I got something for you. The kingdom of God is at hand. What he is saying is the kingdom of God is now invading over the upside down kingdom. The kingdom of God is on the move, and the gates of hell can't stop it. He is saying this. Now, I want to tell you, this is going to be a surprise to some of you. We know the good news is Jesus. We know that. But it's more than just you going to heaven someday. That is good news. But that's just part of the good news. I want to show it to you. He is saying these things. And then Matthew 4, verse 23, just a little bit later, Matthew says this. He says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus is saying, I am bringing you good news that this kingdom is coming to take over this kingdom. That's good stinking news, y'all. That you, listen, you're separated from God. Guess what? The kingdom of God can dwell among you. That's good news. When he says this, we all know from this point that it, right here in the middle, you see how these two are overlapping? Jesus died on a cross. He died on a cross that had no sin, took the sin of this world on this cross to advance the kingdom of God. When he died and he was buried and he rose again on the third day and then ascending into heaven, what he did was able to advance this kingdom into our world. It couldn't have been done before. They tried with tabernacles and sacrifices. That was just a band-aid to get things moving. But Jesus wins. So he's saying, repent from your darkness. Repent and come to the light. Repent from the things that you were doing that are stupid because you live in this stupid upside down kingdom. But I'm inviting you into a new kingdom. You have a certain way of doing things, but I'm inviting you to a new way of doing things. We see this as good news, and in Matthew 24, we see it again. In verse 14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached through the whole world so that all the nations will hear it and the end will come. We spent weeks on this, didn't we?
Yeah.
He wins. But the kingdom of God needs to be preached. The kingdom of God needs to be preached. Who preaches it? Jesus? Us. We are in this land in between. We live in this upside-down kingdom, but we're citizens as Christians of the kingdom of God. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the co-laborers with Christ, advancing his kingdom into this fallen world. That's good news. It's good news. Jesus was inviting everyone into the kingdom, not just the religious. See, that's what everybody thought at the time. Oh, yeah, go get the Pharisees and Sadducees. We invite them all in. Nope. What does he do? Here, as he's on the shore of Galilee that I read, he's preaching to all kinds of people. Jewish people, Gentiles, preaching to them all.
Right.
Hey, come to my kingdom. You know, you look at the woman caught in adultery. You look at the woman at the well. You look at all these different people. Zacchaeus. He's inviting everyone into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Unfortunately, for us, we have an issue of the repent part, don't we? It's not just a thought, it's an action. Repenting. We'll get to that in a minute. Unfortunately, for them and for us, if we're thinking with an upside-down kingdom, God's kingdom, kingdom of God, is a new kind of kingdom. Next slide, please. God's kingdom, kingdom of God, is a new kind of kingdom. It's not like our kingdom.
You have to get that through your mind. So like, think about it this way. Let's say you were one of the disciples or somebody that had been hearing about this thing. Let's put it into perspective. If you're a Jewish person during this time when Jesus is preaching this, he's explaining these things to them, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, their immediate reaction is this. Okay, we were enslaved to Egypt. Then you deliver us. Okay. Then we were enslaved. We were enslaved to the Babylonians, and then you delivered us. And now we're enslaved to Rome, so gosh darn it, I bet you're going to hop on and be this huge political leader, you're going to have this huge army, and then you're going to be able to take over the world. Yeah! You know that's what they're thinking, because their minds are thinking of the kingdom of this world. That must be how God operates. And God says, I got a new kind of kingdom. He says, I'm not trying to just deliver you from Rome. I'm trying to deliver you from yourselves and from sin. Right. And they go, well, that's not what we thought. Now, listen, we kind of struggle with this, right? Because we don't have kings. We don't have kings in 2021. I mean, I looked it up. There's very few, and Wakanda from the Marvel comic doesn't count, okay? Very few places in this world have kings. Very few. What we have now is governments. We have governments, not kingdoms. We have governments. So to put it into 2021 standards, Jesus is coming, and if he came to us, is saying, I'm coming to bring you good news. Repent, for the government of God is at hand. And it's not your type of government. It's a better government. Yeah. But here's the problem. It looks so upside down to us. Now, I want to make this distinction very clear. I explained to you that this is the upside down kingdom. That's where we live, right? The problem is, his kingdom's not upside down. His is actually right side up. But it looks upside down to us. I feel like maybe I should give some examples to make this a little bit more clear. When we're looking at the way Jesus did things, that should be just right there. Okay, this is different than the way I handle things. Why? Because his kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. I'll explain to you when he said that. Pilate, if you remember when Jesus was arrested, he was brought before Pilate by the Jewish leaders. They're like, yo, dude, we got to get rid of this guy. He's causing all these issues. And Pilate's like, what do you do wrong? I'll talk to him. So Pilate sits down. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And he sits down with Jesus, and he starts to question Jesus about this whole kingdom thing, right? The king of the Jews, you have a kingdom, what is this about? Well, you know, he's questioning him, like, come on, like, if you're a king, you wouldn't be here in front of me, right? And listen to what Jesus says in John 18, verse 36. Jesus answers, he goes this to Pilate, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It's not. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But let's say this last line together. But my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is a new kind of kingdom, and it's not of this world. It's not of the upside down that we created with our sin. It is the opposite. It seems backwards to us. It seems confusing to us. I love this verse in Isaiah. This just listen to this. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. This puts it all into perspective right here. You ready? God says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. How many of you know that's true, but it's hard to hear sometimes? Yeah. Right? Like when I was talking about the inauguration and he's like, hey, listen, I don't do things the way you do. And I'm like, but why? You know? He says it, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Then he says, neither are your ways my ways. Well, I don't like that either. You know, like, come on. And then he continues. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, unfortunately, I think there's many times as Christians, we try to make God's kingdom operate and look like what we're used to. Right? We think that we know how it goes, but he says, no, 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 no. And how do you do that? In Romans, here you go, Jody. This is for you. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Notice that's not my will. We know we can test and approve what my will is really easy, okay? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when you are a Christian, when you say yes to Jesus and you live in this land in between, you are living in the upside down kingdom. That is where you reside as a person, right? That's where you live. Okay, whether that's America or Canada or Brazil or China, wherever that is, you're living here, but you are not in that kingdom. You are in a new kingdom. Like, for example, an ambassador. We have ambassadors all over the place, right? We have ambassadors in Russia. They live in Russia, but they're American citizens. What I am saying to you today, what Jesus is saying, what the Bible says, is that although we live in this world, we're not citizens of this world. We are citizens of a new kind of kingdom, the kingdom of God. Now, the problem is that the things that the kingdom of God do seem so backwards and hard for us. Listen, we're born into this. Conform to the world. You're born into the world. You've been taught certain things. You've been taught, if you don't take it, you don't make it. You've been taught, hey, if they punch you, you better punch them right back. Right, Dad? He taught me that. We've been taught things. I'm picking on him, but it's true. We all do it. We all have stuff that we've been born into that we need to transform. We need to have a renewing of our mind into the things of the kingdom of God. We all do. It's not just me, and I know it's me. So if it's me, it's got to be the rest of us too. That's all I'm saying. We all got stuff that they're there. And when God says things, you ever do that thing in the Bible where you're like, you see it, you're reading it, and you're like, he didn't really mean that. You just skip over it. He meant it. That's what this whole series is going to do. It's going to screw with your mind because you're going to go, that doesn't sound right. Yep, because it's upside down to you. You're in the upside down. He's in the right side up. You were born in the upside down, but he's calling you to the right side up. Think about it for a second. What kind of kingdom? Think about this earthly for a moment. What kind of kingdom has a baby as a king? That makes no sense. What kind of kingdom has the king riding a donkey? What kind of king is homeless? What kind of king would live a perfect life, then surrender himself basically over to the government and to the Jewish leaders for them to accuse him of wrongdoing, even though he did nothing wrong, to allow them to spit on him, to allow him to ridicule him, to beat him, to sit there, strip him naked, try to get rid of his clothes, and allow him to nail him to a cross, die on a cross, get buried in the grave? What kind of king does that? Well, guess what? He wins. His ways win, win, win. We think we're winning. My mom just read a verse earlier. She said, "What? Our faith will be strengthened by weakness." Right. But it's backwards. That doesn't make any sense. That's right. What do you mean? The first shall be last and the last shall be first. What are you talking about? Right. It messes with your mind. And God says, that's just the way I had it. I wanted it to. What kind of kingdom? What kind of kingdom tells you, their king says, hey, pray for your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. What kind of kingdom has people turn the other cheek? What kind of kingdom consider it pure joy when they're persecuted for their king? The kingdom of God. The right side up kingdom. But when we live in the upside down, we have to do exactly what Romans 12:2 said. When Paul said, listen, don't be conformed to the world. You must transform. You must do that by renewing your mind. And how do we do that? In the presence of God. I had told you earlier that I spent more time in political commentary than I did in the Word of God. That will have an effect on you. Had an effect on me. Why? because I wasn't constantly renewing my mind into the things of God. So when I started reading over this kingdom of God, and it's all in Matthew, we're going to be going through the Sermon on the Mount. When I started reading it, it was convicting, but freeing. Wait, I don't have to be what the world says I need to be successful. In fact, I just got to put you first. Right. See, the problem is, a lot of times we spend so much time and energy, well, not time and energy, but we have an assurance of our salvation. It's twofold. Yes, you have an assurance of your salvation. It's both and. It's not either or. But you also are now active as a co-laborer with Christ himself to usher in this new kingdom. That means that we have a responsibility to look at what Jesus said the kingdom is like. That's what he does in the Sermon on the Mount. He's describing the kingdom. We now, since we are citizens of that kingdom, but we also live in this fallen world, we need to spend our time, our energy, everything we have on trying to find out what the Word of God says about the kingdom of this of God and what the Holy Spirit is saying. I don't want to spend all my time over here. Right? Why would I put these things ahead of these things? But that's what we do. That's what I do. I try not to. We try not to. And sometimes we just need to be reminded. And I felt like that's what the Lord did for me a few months ago. We're going to be challenged in this series. If you're not looking for a challenge, you found the wrong place. I'm going to tell you. Next week, Pastor Jeff is going to go through the first two the first two Beatitudes. We'll talk all about that. Listen, I'm just telling you, give yourself to this. I'm telling you, yes, it's hard, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And when we align ourselves with the kingdom of God and we put him first, we will see a harvest. Amen? Yeah. But maybe you're here this morning and you're asking a question. You're like, this sounds great now, but how do I get into this kingdom? How do I get into this kingdom? That's a very good question, and I know we know the answer, but I want to even make it a little bit more in-depth for you. I couldn't say better than Jesus himself. There was a man named Nicodemus. How many of you have watched The Chosen? Anybody? The Chosen? Totally recommend it. Really awesome show that you can download on your phone and cast to your TV. It's awesome. It's about the disciples and everything. Anyway, there's a man named Nicodemus. This man is a great teacher. He's got everything that he could ever want. Power, fame, intellect, he's got it all. He's a Pharisee. He's got it all. Nicodemus is like got it all together. But Nicodemus sees something in Jesus that is stirring something up. I know that we're going to be hated for being Christians and followers of Jesus, but you know that there's also going to be people that say, I want to know what you have. Right. What is it? You act different. You do things different. You're weird. Yeah, I'm on the right side up. You're in the upside down, you know. But Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He comes to him in the middle of the night. He shows up on this, like a courtyard type of scenario. It's dark. He's doing it under darkness, but he's interested. And he's asking Jesus, like, who are you? What is this? And Jesus says in John 3, he says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Now, Nicodemus is struggling with this. And if you hear it for the first time, you're like, I don't, you know, that sounds weird. How do you get born again? Nicodemus even asks, like, you want me to be born again? Because I don't want to go back in there, you know? She's dead too, so that's going to make it really hard. I don't know if she was dead. But it's like really challenging at this moment. Now here, I want to just explain this super easy. Give it to you super easy. Okay, you're born physically into this world, right? Jesus is saying, if you want to see the kingdom of God. It's not just heaven. That's part of it. God says he's going to create new heavens and a new earth. So don't worry about that. It is that. You will have salvation. But it's more. He's saying, if you want to see the kingdom of God here on earth too, you got to be born into this kingdom. You've been born here. You know all about this kingdom. There's nothing I can teach you about this. Like, you're already there. You need to now be born again into that. Goes well with the whole transforming your mind, right? Goes well with the whole repentance. What you're saying is you're taking an about face, saying, I know everything about that kingdom because that kingdom stinks, and I am rejecting this kingdom, even though I live here, and saying, Jesus, I want to be a part of your kingdom. What you're saying is there's a king of this kingdom of sin and selfishness. You, me, the kingdom of Josh Whippy is right here, and I am rejecting that, and I am saying, I want to be in your kingdom. It's a rejection of this kingdom of this earth. You know C.H. Daniel, he's one of our missionaries in India. When somebody comes in his place there in India, in his church, and they become saved, he has them rebuke all of and denounce all of their gods that they had. The problem is that we do just the naughty ones that we think about, right? Oh, okay, I'm not gonna like flick people off when I'm mad at them anymore. No, you are rejecting everything of this world. Everything. And saying, that was my king, but now my king is Jesus. King, again, governor, the one that tells you what to do is Jesus. And that is your first priority. This is freeing because you don't have to live as a slave to sin anymore. You are a slave to Him. Hallelujah. And in this kingdom, Jeff talked about it. In this kingdom, there's healing. In this kingdom, there's peace. But in this kingdom, there's also, because you live here, there's going to be suffering. We're going to get into that in the coming weeks. But there's joy in this kingdom. There's no joy in this kingdom. People say, well, why would God create a whole earth that's so bad? No, He created a great earth. We're the ones screwed it up. And He's got a plan. And His plan is to advance so one day this kingdom will come over this kingdom once again. And you and I get to be a part of that if you say yes to Jesus, if you make Him the Lord of your life, if you make Him the king of your kingdom, you get to be a part of that. You get to be a part of that. I know how things go in the upside down, but I am being reborn into the kingdom of God. I wanted to share with you this last point. Now, what's funny about being in this land, this is actually called the mandola. It looks like it's actually Latin for almond, okay? This, yeah, right here. And actually, if you look at some old pictures of Jesus, you'll find Him living in this land. You'll see Him in almonds. Look it up. Mandola on your phone if you want. They're all almonds, and Jesus is in that almond. He's living in the both and, right? He fully God and fully man, but had no sin, right? So we are here in this mandola. We're here in this area of the land of in between. We live in this world. That's where we reside physically. But we're spiritually in this world. That is our kingdom. That is our governor. That's what we do is under the King of Jesus and the Lordship of Jesus. Now, to illustrate this a little bit further, to help you for this week, I'm going to make it more like a cross and less like a T. All right. I guess a cross is a T. Whatever. How many of you all like football? Anybody like football? How many of you know that the Buffalo Bills, they have a coach named Sean McDermott? Sean McDermott, I love that guy. Him, Brandon Bean, the general manager, love those guys. Now listen, if you or I were able to join that football team, right? Let's say they were like, hey, we need a short 5'7 chubby guy. Will you come join the team? Sure, yeah, okay, I'll be a part. I mean, I'm going to have to move some things around, but I guess I'll be a part of it. And now you're on the team, right? Just picture yourself on the team. Now they have certain things for you to do. You have to eat a certain way. If you're a lineman, they have special food for you. That's where I'd like to be. The lineman food, you got the Isaiah McKenzie's, the little skinny guys that are eating like pieces of rice, whatever they eat. You got those guys. They got workout regimens that you have to follow, right? But in addition to that, they have times you have to be places. They have a time you have to show up and a time you have to leave. But they also have an etiquette of how you should act on the field, right? They have a specific etiquette of how you present yourself when you are playing the game of football. Now, that is your team. When you're in Orchard Park and you're playing at One Bills Drive and you're doing all those types of things, that's really easy. Now, here's the difference. When what happens is now they are going, let's say, to Kansas City, and they're playing in Kansas City. They're on Team Bills, but they're playing in Kansas City. You see it? That means that they don't go by the works of Kansas City anymore. It's not like they're like, well, we're in Kansas City, we're in a different city, so therefore we're going to do things the way they do things. No, you do things the way that this team does things, because that's your team. You're in a different location, but that's your team. This is what Jesus is calling us to do. And unfortunately, like I said before, too many times we're saying, well, yeah, I'm in the kingdom of God, and then we start flirting over here. We start flirting over here. And God, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at, Jesus is explaining, he's showing us, he's inviting us to act like our kingdom. To act like this kingdom. Because this kingdom always wins. Even when this kingdom says you're losing. Like I said, this kingdom's on the offense. It's moving. This kingdom can't stop. What's going to happen? You know, a lot of times Christians think that. Oh, well, they're gosh. No. It might look like that. I'm sure the disciples were like, we're losing. Our king is dying. Guess what? He won. You're obedient to this kingdom. This kingdom, you're moving. What we're trying to do is bring people out here into here. That is our job. That's what we're called to do. It's a great commission. Get these people in the darkness into the light. When that happens, this kingdom will go, and again, the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not be able to stop what God is doing. He wins. Say he wins.
He wins.
That's good news. Yeah. It could never have happened without God losing to win.
Right.
Oh, upside down kingdom, I'm screwing with your heads. That's what God does. Because his ways are higher than our ways. I've said enough. Let's stand together. I know many of us are in this place. Maybe you're like me and there was a moment where you lived in, you know you're a kingdom of God, but you've been spending too much time in the upside down kingdom. I believe the Lord is calling you much like the prodigal son saying, come back. With arms wide open, I just picture him saying, come back to me. You belong here, not out there. There's a humility that comes with this, that say, I don't know, but you do. When Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, that he must be born again, when he goes on to say, those who believe in me will have everlasting life. If you're here this morning and you're like, I want into this kingdom, can I just tell you, he is begging you to come into this kingdom. Yes, you will still live in the upside down, but your life, the king over your life, the governor over your life is perfect in every way. That doesn't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory and perfect. But it does mean that you will have peace in Christ. All you have to do is invite him. That's what the thief on the cross did. He's sitting there, he defends him, and then he says, Jesus, will you remember me? He's basically saying, you're the king of my life. I surrender to your lordship. I know there's a lot of times, and especially in the United States, where we're rejecting, you know, the governors, and we're doing all this stuff. How about we just say this morning, Jesus, you're my king.
Jesus, you're my king.
Jesus, you're my governor. Jesus, you're my president. Jesus, we pledge allegiance to your kingdom this morning. Lord, we know that we live in this upside down world, and we are supposed to be in it, but not of it. But Lord, we also know that you'll have things for us to do, but if we have, if maybe that is within politics, maybe that is within careers and finances and counseling, whatever that could be, we know that that will happen, but we need to have your kingdom of God first in our lives. We want to seek first your kingdom, Lord. Through this series, Lord, I pray that PCF would start a revolution, Lord, for people that are seeking first the kingdom of God before all else. When somebody says, what's new in your life? We get to talk about you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that we will come, even this week, Lord, that you will show us that we will be seeking your kingdom, that we will be digging into your kingdom, seeking that first for our own lives and those around us. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just be people who are like, well, I can't wait till this is over, but we would be people that are active into bringing more into the kingdom of God. Lord, open up doors for that to happen this week. And again, if you're here this morning, I just invite you to invite Jesus afresh into your life. Whether that's for the first time, you're saying, I'm rejecting the things of this earth, this upside down kingdom. And Lord, I am saying, I want you to be my king. I want you to call the shots. I want you to tell me what to do. And Lord, by your Spirit, that you would lead us. Lord, thank you so much that these two kingdoms, you could have left it separate. You could have left them completely separate and said, I ain't going to try anything. But no, Lord, you sent your son to come, to bring these two back together. Lord, we're praying for the advancement of your kingdom by your means in the way you do things. And Lord, we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of that. We thank you, Jesus, that you know best. And we trust in you this morning. We trust in you, in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen. Well, have a great week in the Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. I hope you have an awesome, awesome week. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, you're in the kingdom of God. Have a great, 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 great week.